views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hey everybody, I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture, change, and leadership, helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I'm really excited to have David Shanklin with us, who is from Culture IQ. Let me introduce David. He is a managing director of client delivery at Culture IQ, and he specializes in helping executives build high-performance, purpose-driven cultures. He's also passionate about helping people and organizations realize their full potential. A leader by example, David excels at coaching other leaders and teams how to engage employees in meaningful interactions to foster teamwork, enhance working relationships, and stimulate growth. Prior to joining Culture IQ, David led the associate consultant and analyst team at Great Places to Work. He also managed high potential succession processes at Deloitte, as well as serving in Deloitte's human capital consulting practices. He offers clients a wealth of experience across industries, including financial services, hospitality, professional services, manufacturing, healthcare, and technology. Welcome, David.
Thanks, Claudette. Great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited you're here. And, you know, we have a lot in common. My organization, my work is all about helping organizations and people fulfill their potential as well. So already there's a nice synergy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know one of the things we wanted to talk, or our theme, I guess, for the show today is really to talk about trends in 2019 for culture, right? What are great cultures potentially going to look like in 2019? Which I think is a really fun topic.
Yeah, I think culture is always fun to talk about. So talking about culture and what's in the future for it is great. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. And so one thing we should do just to start off is have you share with listeners a little bit more about Culture IQ, just to bring them up to speed.
Yeah, happy to. So try to do it in a nutshell here to be brief. But essentially, we exist in the world to make culture a competitive advantage for our clients. So that means not only creating an optimal environment for your employees to come to work in every day, but it also means aligning your internal behaviors, norms, processes, et cetera, with your business strategy and what your customers love about you, why they stay with you. So we do this really through two main ways. We do it through modern technology to assess your culture and facilitate ongoing conversations between leaders and their employees. And then we do it through consulting services that help our clients align their culture and measurement programs to their business strategies, helps them determine where they should focus. That's a big thing for us is you can't do everything. So where do you focus and what culture efforts are going to have the maximum impact? And then third is offering best practices and guidance for how you can strengthen your cultures.
Well, that's great. Thanks for sharing that, because I think sometimes, you know, Culture IQ is known for its assessment work, right? But you just brought it to life so much more in terms of what deep down what you are all really trying to achieve and how you're trying to help companies.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So that's, you know, and it's interesting because my organization, Cultural Brilliance, is, you know, we're taking a different path to getting to the same place is what it sounds like, right? Looking at, you know, competitive advantage, lost business potential. That's one thing I talk to leaders about a lot is, you know, how much potential are you leaving on the table, you know, through your culture? Because I can see so much that's possible, you know, when I go in and talk to people in an organization. Is that something you notice as well?
Yeah, without question. I think that's one of the, that's one of the hardest sell points for culture for leaders that don't just intuitively grasp it or aren't particularly drawn to it, is that a lot of this is about what's left on the table and the amount of potential that you can actually gain by really focusing on this and, to your point, aligning it with your strategy. I think, you know, there's tons of data out there from various organizations, we met at a conscious capitalism event. So whether it's, you know, firms of endearment or some of the great place to work data, whatever it might be, there's a lot, John Cotter had a book on it. There's a lot of data out there that show the exceptional performance of organizations with great cultures. But it is really about taking your business to the next level. And it's not always apparent that it's a gap.
Yeah, you're right. It's not always apparent it's a gap. And I think especially when organizations, when leaders say, well, our bottom line's great. Our revenue, we've had the best year ever, right?
Right. And great, great compared to other companies that don't have good cultures either.
I'm sorry?
Maybe great compared to other organizations that don't have the best cultures either.
Exactly. Yeah. And they'll say, well, everything's, you know, nothing's really, I think we're fine because it hasn't hit the bottom line yet. And what I'm often talking with them about, interestingly, is once you've hit the bottom, once, you know, organizational performance is hitting your bottom line, it's almost always never too late, but you may be close to too late, right? That is so much harder at that point to help a culture revive itself and come back around.
Oh yeah, without question. It's way harder at that point. Because as we all know, so much of this is based on trust.
Yeah.
And trust is something that's really hard to build. It takes a long time to do it. And usually when things bottom out, it's because trust is totally broken. And it's a lot harder to rebuild trust from a place of detriment like you're talking about than it is to do the right things along the way. And then people tend to be more forgiving for little mistakes.
Yeah, they really do. And I think that, trust is also one of my favorite topics when it comes to culture and organizations. To your point, it's, you know, it's easy to break, hard to build. And recently I had a colleague say to me, I was running him through my body of work, the Cultural Brilliance System. And he said, well, I have a question for you. He said, do you think organizations should have certain types of cultures? Like, are you prescribing a type of culture? And I said, absolutely not. I actually do the opposite. I believe that culture is a fairly, once an organization starts looking at their culture intentionally and working with it, that it's a fairly emergent process, that it has almost, it like takes on a life of its own in some ways. And I said, the one thing though, one caveat I will give is that I have never seen a good culture in which there wasn't trust, right? There wasn't trust. There wasn't some sort of emotional safety, and that people felt like they could actually tell the truth about what was going on. That seems to be one of the key, that sort of bucket, those three, trust, psychological safety, and truth telling mm-hmm. are required foundation. I was curious to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think those are three really critical components and they all work together. I don't know that you can have any of them without, you certainly can't have psychological safety without trust. And so they all kind of build on one another without question. And I think what that comes back to as well is that you have to be really intentional about your culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, you kind of talked about how it evolves organically and it does. Yes. And if you're not intentional about creating it, it's going to create itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it will develop in some really good ways because culture by its nature grows out of the behaviors that have been successful in the past.
Right.
And so sometimes that's a really good thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes not so much because the wrong behaviors might have led to a success for various reasons, or, you know, maybe we have a new business strategy and that doesn't work anymore, whatever it is. So we have to be really intentional about building culture and setting really clear expectations for what it means to work here. And that, I think, also engenders trust.
Oh, I think it does. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if people don't know what expectations are, what they can expect from others, they're constantly guessing. And that, by its nature is not trust either, because you never know what somebody's going to do.
Right. Or I'm thinking of a couple clients right now. I'm working with organizational clients, and they're, then people make assumptions, right? They'll make assumptions without checking them out there. So there's all these other things that occur when you don't have those clear expectations and you aren't intentionally working on your culture and saying that, you know, these are some of the key components of our culture. Like this particular organization I'm thinking about, one of the things we're really focused on is this concept of ownership, what ownership looks and sounds like there. And because that's, and we talk a lot about psychological safety too, but because those are the two levers, if you will, for this particular organization, it's a really interesting perspective you just shared about how that builds trust, because those expectations are so clear. This is what it means to work here. This is what we need. This is behaviorally what it looks like to be an owner at this company. And that's not kind of clarity can really build trust, right? And it's easier to hold people accountable.
100%. 100%. Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, people, when you start making those assumptions, people can break cultural norms or do something that damages trust with someone else totally unintentionally and with the best intentions. Mm-hmm. There's no generally accepted practice. I love the ownership example too. If it's helpful to, you know, even dive into that one layer deeper, can offer maybe an example would be helpful. Curious to get your thoughts on it. I'm big on David Marquette's book, Turn the Ship Around. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with it, and his big practice is using intention, and I intend to do this. And it's something that I really push with my teams. And essentially, for anyone not familiar with it, basically, David Marquette was an admiral in the Navy, and he took the lowest performing submarine and in 2 years' time turned it around and received the best inspection grade ever given. And his tagline is, he did it all without ever giving an order. And what he asked his crew members to do was to come to him with their intentions and say, I intend to submerge the ship, as an example, and then give off all the reasons why it's a good idea to do. And then David Marquette would just say, proceed. So he doesn't have to ask all these questions. It's all right there for him. And he's not spinning his wheels. So instead of him making all the decisions as the leader, which would slow things down and, you know, kind of bog down his thought processes, everything is much more fluid and people feel a lot more ownership. And what I've noticed, to bring it back full circle to what you're talking about around this culture of ownership, I'm really intentional. I've got several new people on my team, and I've been very much, you know, trying to reinforce this norm because they come from cultures that are incredibly hierarchical, and they're used to asking their leaders, "What should I do? What do you want me to do? What's the right thing here?" And what I want them to do is actually think it through and propose their ideas. Whereas if they had done that in their other culture, their other leader might have thought, you're stepping on my toes or you're not respecting my authority.
Yeah. Absolutely. And this is such a great segue into what we're going to be talking about next. So let's take a quick break. You are listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. And when we come back, David and I are going to start talking about what are some of the cultural trends we're each seeing for 2019. Stay tuned.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot, metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Back on Cultural Brilliance Radio, I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guest today is David Shanklin, who works for Culture IQ. And David, you and I are focused on really talking about some of the ins and outs, right, of cultural trends, what makes a culture great, the things that we're each seeing in our organizations. I think we were just before we went to break talking about the importance of ownership, right? And you were giving an example from your own company right now, your own team, right? Where you have people who are new, who are used to being in hierarchy, and you actually want them to come up with their own solutions and be empowered to take them forward, it sounds like.
Yep, absolutely. And we were just talking about, you've got this client as well that's really trying to create this environment of ownership, and how much of this is about making expectations really clear for folks, because anyone can have the best of intentions, they can have the best of intentions with what they're doing, and they can step on a cultural landmine or do something that breaks trust. Mm-hmm. So we've got to be really clear and really intentional about our cultures and what we expect of people.
Yeah. And I think this ownership, one of the things that was making me think about when you shared your story, what you're experiencing right now with some of your new team members, is that the role, and I talk a lot about this in my work, explicitly, of mindset. And when someone comes from a hierarchical background in which, if they had spoken up in certain ways, it wouldn't have been received well, let's say. And then how their mindset must need to change when they come work for someone like you, who's saying, no, let's be right. I want to hear what you have to say. I want your solutions. I want your ideas. And even though they're probably really glad about it, it's a big mindset shift. Is that what you found?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I think as a leader, you have to not get frustrated with folks.
Right.
Have that empathy of someone's had this drilled into them for however long. Mm-hmm. And you just got to be patient and be encouraging. Say, no, it's okay. And this all circles back to what you were saying about psychological safety.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people don't feel like they can speak up and do this, you're never going to get that safety on the team that makes it really productive.
Yeah. You're really, really not. I mean, it is unbelievably critical. So cultural trends, I mean, we've already started to touch on it, right? Things like ownership, expectations, things that are really important, trust, elements of culture. But from your vantage point at Culture IQ, what are you folks seeing in terms of trends for the upcoming year?
There are a couple things that stand out for me. I think what's interesting is that, like, basically almost at zero unemployment, not quite obviously, but more or less, mm-hmm. like the job market is so hot right now.
Yeah.
So I think organizations, particularly for their younger workforces, need to be so intentional about career pathing and development. It's so important for folks younger in their careers. And also, you know, data shows people are willing to leave for a better opportunity. And with the market as hot as it is, I think that just becomes continually important. That's hard for companies to do. It's not easy. So,
right.
I think that's one major trend, certainly. And then the other one is diversity and inclusion. And candidly, this isn't a huge area of expertise for me. I think, you know, a great culture is clearly inclusive of everyone. And there's still a lot that needs to be done, particularly around unconscious bias and all of those things that exist that we don't think about, even if we're really, really working to create an inclusive culture. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on both of those and any other trends you're seeing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm happy to share trends. I'll just comment on the ones you mentioned. I agree that career pathing and development, especially for people who are earlier in their careers, it's an expectation, right? They want to grow and develop. They want to work in great cultures. That's the other thing I've noticed, right? They have their maybe less time generalizing, of course, but less tolerance perhaps for a culture that's not working well. Not supporting them, that might have become toxic and all, you know, all this, we could go on with the examples, but really like that they, okay, how can I move forward here, right? How can I learn and grow and develop as a person and as a professional? So I definitely see that. Diversity and inclusion, it seems like in our broader culture, right, that societal culture, that's something that's getting talked about more openly in lots of different ways. And one of the things that a colleague of mine who was actually on the show about a year ago, her name is Raj Kumari Niyogi, and she's written some books on diversity and inclusion, or she actually calls it inclusivity. And one of the things she really emphasizes is that it's about belonging. So it's actually about, do I feel, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, her ideas, but do I feel that I belong in this organization, right? Do I have that sense of belonging that I am actually part of this? Or do I feel like I'm outside of something? And I love her perspective on this, on the concept of belonging. That if I feel like I belong, just like everyone else belongs, then we're in a fairly inclusive situation. And what I hear folks talk about sometimes is they don't feel like, they may act like they belong, they may look like they belong on paper, you know, but when you ask them about their actual experience, they would say, I feel like an outsider. I don't really feel like I belong. You know, I say the right things and I do the right things, but deep down, I don't feel that. I feel there's some different obstacles and barriers in our organization for everyone to feel like they're fully part of things. So I think that's been an interesting perspective and a broad perspective on what we're really talking about with diversity and inclusion.
Yeah, absolutely. To what extent have you found, because to me, what it makes me think of is how important values are and sincere values about how decisions get made in organizations, how money gets spent, and just having that alignment between your own values and your organization's values.
Yeah, I think that's huge, right? Because if you have I started out my business doing almost all coaching, and we talked about something called a values violation. Which is essentially that if my values are not aligned with the organization's values, and maybe some misalignment's okay, right? A little bits here and there, but if it's not aligned in a fundamental way, like around integrity or ethics or something, if I have that kind of values violation, I'm probably not going to be able to stay at the organization very long. Is that what you were getting at?
Yeah.
I think that's huge. One of the things, I also talk a lot about in my work is this idea of organizational values, and this may be controversial because I know not everyone agrees with me on this, which is fine. But that organizational values, cultural values are not that meaningful unless they are directly and very overtly tied to the behavior. So if we have a value of integrity, just as one example, what does that look and sound like in our organization? And that's actually written up and everybody understands it, and people are held accountable for that kind of behavior. And that's when I see values really come, organizational values and cultural values really come to life, is when they are absolutely connected, stapled together to behaviors. And I was curious to get your take on that.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm not going to be one of those. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
One of the things we do with our clients whenever we're talking about values, if they don't feel very tangible or real, is talking about examples of when they've seen that value show up in a really meaningful way.
Yeah.
And how that value has impacted a teammate or just as, if not more importantly, a customer or a client. And I think it has to be tied with specific behaviors, specific situations, and also tied to the business side. And the reason I think that is important is that businesses exist to do business and make money. So if there's not, even if it's a longer term view of the business, which oftentimes it is, there has to be some tie to how this behavior also impacts our ability to execute effectively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because those are the things that are going to get rewarded in performance management processes, and they're the things that are going to make money for the organization. So having that tie and that alignment just helps create that continuity of values and minimizes the places where you'd see conflicting behavior.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the other trends that I'm seeing, and I have no doubt you are as well, is a trend around bringing more empathy and connection into the workplace. Some people talking about this idea of bringing your best self or your whole self to work. We talked about trust already, of course, but the purpose and the rehumanizing of the workplace. And I think that is interesting because I don't know that is certainly known or discussed across, you know, the broad, you know, swath of organizations, right? There's some organizations talking about it. I think there are a lot of people who are, you know, pioneers or front runners in the area of culture that are talking a lot about it and writing about it and you know, speaking and connecting with organizations around it. So to me, I see that as an interesting growing edge in the culture movement to bring these concepts into the workplace, which, as we know, would have previously been never discussed, right? These are soft skills, never discussed. But I was curious, is that something you're seeing too?
Definitely seeing it. I wonder where there's a tipping point because it still doesn't seem as widely adopted as I'd love when I'm with clients, unfortunately.
I agree.
But without question, we're seeing it more and more, and it certainly isn't decreasing, which is good. And I think there is a movement towards companies needing to also do the right thing and be stewards of society. It comes back to this, you know, the conscious capitalism movement is one that's synonymous with that. And it, like B Corp obviously is out there, some of those types of things. I would love to see more of that. I think, you know, the notion that a corporation only exists to provide returns for shareholders is just so incredibly short-sighted. Sorry, I'll try to stay off my soapbox here.
Actually, let's take a quick break. Not because you're on your soapbox, it's a great one. But if you think of something else, it segues into something else. So let's take a quick break and then we'll come back exactly to this. I'm Claudette Rowley and you're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. When we come back, we're gonna let David get back in his soapbox and we're gonna talk also about a couple of other trends we're seeing. Stay tuned.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
High frequency healing for an amazing life with Source Light Radio. Join host Laura Barton each month on Transformation Talk Radio as she explores Source Light integration, a unique spectrum of energy, light, and frequency. Experience instantaneous healing and amazing shifts in consciousness with Source Light Integrations Radio. For more information on Laura and her work, visit SourceLightIntegrations.com.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. My goal is to help you to reach your goal. And this is a tip with purpose. Everybody wants it and nobody has enough of it. But it comes to a point that you have to tell yourself, I can get more. I want more. I deserve more. I'm talking about money. More money, more money, more money. That's what people want. But what has to be done? Your thoughts have to change, that you can allow yourself to tell yourself, I have money and I want more money. How much money? What is it? Put it out there. Write it down. What would you do with more money? How would you feel to have more money? I hope this tip helps you going through the day today. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at SwissHypnotherapy.com.
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as we reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit JenniferNoelleTaylor.com.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley here with my guest today, David Shanklin from Culture IQ. David, before we dive back in to this very interesting conversation, how can listeners learn more about your company?
You can go to cultureiq.com. So we're pretty easy to find there. And then people can get a hold of me at david@cultureiq.com. Pretty simple.
Great. Excellent. Does your website have some different resources on it and things like that?
It does. It talks about the technology platform and some of our services and that sort of thing. So I definitely go there first. It also has, you know, we have a blog and several white papers, talks about our model. We'll have a complete refresh coming up at the beginning of the year too. So this will be good timing.
Great. And then it sounds like also folks, you know, just wanted to have an introductory call with someone at your organization, they could definitely set that up to learn more, that kind of a thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. Awesome. Thanks for sharing all that. So we were, right before we went to break, right, you were talking about that, you know, this idea of companies exist for their shareholders, right? Is really not the best, is not the best way. It is not a good cultural trend, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously it's a key stakeholder, but it's not the the only reason for existence. And I think we are starting to see trends of companies really wanting to show the good that they do for their communities and for society, in addition to their employees and their shareholders and their customers. Delta actually jumps to mind as an interesting one. I fly Delta, and if you watch a movie or a TV show or something on Delta, one of the ads they have up now is all about the community service that they do and how much they donate to the Red Cross and things like that. And to me, that's just, and you're seeing some of those types of commercials from other organizations as well, I think, on TV and various places. And I think that to me represents this notion that organizations see brand value and brand equity in giving back to the communities that they serve. And that to me is a fantastic trend and something that we obviously as customers have the power to contribute to.
Yeah, and that's all, I agree. And that's also making me think about actually a session I'm doing tomorrow in an organization on purpose and the company's purpose. And I've been working with them for a while, and this has been something we've been wanting to get on the calendar and did. And it, you know, it's coming from two pieces, of course, you know, Simon Sinek's work, Find Your Why, all of that, right, about purpose, which is great work. And then in one of Patrick Lencioni's book, who wrote The Five Dysfunctions of the Team, his book, The Advantage on Organizational Health, has a section in there about the fact that companies do exist for reasons like other than shareholder reasons and things like that. But that almost all companies have an underlying purpose that most people don't know about and is certainly not talked about until there's some, you know, work done to uncover it. And I've been really, and I'm excited about the session I'm doing tomorrow because it's so interesting to find out why a company exists. And both, you know, Simon Sinek and Patrick Lencioni say that organizations do exist to make a contribution to the greater good, even if it's not an obvious contribution. And I think that's, if more companies were able to tap into that and really understand how they made a deeper contribution, I mean, I think that would be very galvanizing for a lot of the people that worked there.
Yeah, without question. Without question. I mean, you see so many models around human motivation that have a purpose element to it and a purpose component. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we know that money and pay even are not intrinsic motivators that get people to go above and beyond.
They're not.
It kind of circles back even, Claudette, to what you were saying about how culture is about taking all that's left on the table and really elevating it. Mm-hmm. You can pay someone to get them to show up and do their job 8 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Purpose is what's going to get that extra effort, that extra creativity, that extra hour or two of work, that going the extra mile for the customer. It's the purpose and those intrinsic motivators that are going to get that for an organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that does seem to be one of the trends I've been reading and seeing about, is more of this emphasis, certainly in books we're seeing, but also some companies really saying we do need to understand. There are many, like Southwest, many companies that have had their purpose for a long time, but more companies, right, that are starting to actually take a look at this. So it seems to be emerging as a trend as well.
Yeah, without question.
Without question. Yeah.
And I think what's interesting that companies need to remember is that's emerging, is it's great to talk about, and how are you reporting on that and measuring it?
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. transparency around what your revenue is for, I always think about it this way. You know, transparency is great when you're telling your employees, here's what our revenue was, here was our profitability. For a public company, that's all public information anyway. How many organizations are talking about, these are the number of lives we touched whatever way why we exist for our customers? Or the community work we're doing, or whatever it might be, and I think that's a miss and a real opportunity for organizations is to talk about those purpose metrics beyond mm-hmm. revenue.
Yeah, I like that. The idea of the purpose metric, right? How do we know? And the this company I mentioned tomorrow, that I'm doing the session for or with. They're in manufacturing, right? If you ask them, some of them, we're here to manufacture this product. That's our purpose. And no, that's not really, that's important. And they do that, but there's something else, right? There's a way they contribute through the products that they manufacture and how those products actually help improve, you know, other people's lives. And it might be, you know, six steps removed or something, right? But you can make the connection. And so I love this idea of having of working with clients and companies to help them see, no, you exist for something that's far more important than the tangible thing that you make, right? Or the service you provide. There's something else going on here.
Yep, absolutely. And that can be a long value chain.
Yeah.
And so it can feel really hard. It can feel really hard for leaders as well to think, oh, well, this person isn't going to feel purpose because of what they do here. Mm-hmm. The reality is I think that they can.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, without question. And that's, you know, you always hear the story of, I think it was JFK walking through NASA and he was talking to a janitor and asking him what he did. And he said, well, I'm putting a man on the moon.
Yeah.
So anyone can be a part of this. I think one of the critical elements, which makes me think of another trend, is storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And stories from end customers, end clients about how they experience a product or the impact that it has on them. And being able to collect those stories or, you know, someone in the organization that interacts with customers talking about what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to share those in compelling and emotional ways, I think is a great way to engage people in purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And having people create those stories for themselves as well. And that's one thing I think storytelling is taking a bigger role in organizations because it can be so motivating.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And to circle back to what you said a couple minutes ago about how, you know, the JFK story with the janitor, right? I'm putting a man on the moon. And there's also, I think there's that kind of purpose. And there's also the purpose that comes from someone doing a job. We haven't really touched on this. Someone doing a job that's so aligned with who they are. And they feel so purposeful in doing it, right? They could be a bookkeeper for an organization. And they may feel like I'm doing exactly what I meant to do. I love doing this. And I am so benefiting this company by handling all of these financial details and making sure they're exactly as they need to be. And I think that's purpose too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that read recently that I think is great is called Prime to Perform. And they're... the three pieces of their framework that act as motivators are play, purpose, and potential. Mm. And that play piece, I think, really hits on what you're saying. It's like, I do this because I genuinely love to do it.
Right.
And I get energy out of the work. And you can't underestimate that. You know, one of my all-time favorite quote is, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go and do that, because what the world needs is people who come alive. So,
yeah, I love that quote. Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderful. I forget who said that.
It was, I'll have to. I'll tell you after the break. How about that?
It'll come back to you. Yeah.
it's eluding me at the moment.
Yeah, me too. I've seen it many times. But this whole idea, yeah, what makes you come alive? Right? That you get to love your work so much that you're happy to be doing it. You're not just collecting a paycheck.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's idealistic, but, I don't know that anyone can do that all of the time. Mm-hmm. But a piece of advice I always give to folks when they're asking me about career advice is I say, figure out what you love most about your current job and get more of that in your next role.
Right.
Right. You're never going to do 100% always what you love, but if you're getting more of what you like to do, you're on the right path and you're going to be more satisfied and more fulfilled. And you're also developing skills that you enjoy doing. So people aren't hiring you for the things that you don't like to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's striking. We're going to go to a quick break, but it's striking me that we've been talking about cultural trends, but as we're doing that, we're also really talking about what great cultures look like, aren't we? We're doing both at one time.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, David and I will share our recommendations, some practical recommendations for organizations that want to take a look at their culture this year in 2019 and make some improvements, take it to the next level, make it brilliant. So You are listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Miss any shows during the week?
No!
Don't worry, we've got you covered.
Yahoo!
With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand.
Yes!
Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Are you ready to embrace your essence and the magic of who you are? Let me, Emily Perkins, hold your hand and walk with you as we go treasure hunting for the gold that lies within you. Tune in to Love Living Radio every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com.
Back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley here with David Shanklin. David is from Culture IQ. I'm from Cultural Brilliance, and we have been talking all about what we're seeing in terms of cultural trends, what great cultures are potentially and hopefully are going to look like in 2019. And we wanted to wrap up our conversation, the show today, by talking about recommendations. So if you've been listening, you're thinking, you know, I'd really like to bring more purpose, more inclusion, you know, more empathy, right? Whatever, more trust, whatever the case may be, into my company. You know, what are some ways you can start taking a look at that? David, what are some of your recommendations, right? I bet you get this question all the time, right, from clients or prospective clients coming in.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. In the spirit of threes, I'll throw three out there to think about. New year, as you think about your culture. Number one for me is the alignment piece. And you know, that's key to the way we approach things at Culture IQ, is having that alignment between your culture and your business strategy, creating that continuity for your employees, and the continuity that's really going to serve your customers best. So that alignment is really critical. The second thing is focus. So when you're trying to figure out how to improve your culture and, you know, whether you're doing a qualitative assessment or a quantitative assessment, however it is you're going about gathering data, find one or two really important things to focus on. Don't try to do too much.
Right. So prioritize, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It can be so hard to do that, but you're always better off to do one or two things really well. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing, which is a little mushier, but I think it comes back to a lot of what we've talked about today. And I just can't talk about culture without talking about the importance of caring.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, to me, it's such a key part of building strong relationships within an organization, building trust. And, you know, we talked a little bit about diversity and inclusion. And I love this idea that you brought up, Claudette, of this culture of belonging. Mm-hmm. And to me, care is so critical. And really thinking about care is not a sign of weakness, but really a sign of strength.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that goes so far with people. And I think that makes a huge difference.
You know, it does really, really make a huge difference. And thank you for mentioning that, because we hadn't mentioned it really, had we, the caring piece. Just caring, being kind, right? Treating people with respect.
Yep.
And
to that point, it can show up in a lot of different ways, and you can be intentional about how you show caring for folks.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's career development, because that's a key part of your employee value proposition and you're really trying to grow people.
Absolutely.
Financial services organization, and you really want to make sure that people are taking care of their retirement. So you offer, you know, extra 401k benefits, and that's a sign of caring. Whatever it is, it, you know, you can be really intentional about how you demonstrate that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a key part of people connecting with the organization and being loyal to it.
Yeah, and it takes caring. It's just not, you know, being one person being nice to another. You're defining, and I love it, incredibly broadly, right? The kindness to one person may not matter to another person. So there's also this individualization. Right? Kindness to somebody, to me, might be, give me an amazing, juicy project, right? Or caring, I mean, right? Give me an amazing, juicy project. For somebody else, that wouldn't make them feel cared about. It would, you know, they might really, you know, want to have a conversation about how they can, like you said, develop their career.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So thank you for that. That's a really great broad definition. So some of my recommendations, right? One is listening, really, really listening. One of the things I notice when I go into most organizations, and I mean, if people are listening really well, I'm usually not there, right? But the power of not only leaders, but of course they need to be doing it, but everybody to really listen. And I call this listening to what you hear. So not what you wanted to hear or not what you hope to hear, but listening to what you actually hear, because that is the information that you will gain, right? You will glean, you will take into your brain, is usually invaluable, because what we often are doing is we're filtering so much of what we're listening, particularly if it's not aligned with what we had hoped to hear. So I find when leaders and other folks in an organization start listening, team members, anybody, right? Start listening to what they actually hear, all of a sudden some of the pieces start fitting together in new and different ways. And they actually are then more empowered to take different action. The other thing I like to recommend is looking, you know, and this may be a little bit pat, you know, once we've done some sort of assessment work and understanding how the culture operates, but really looking for what I would call quick wins, easy ways for people in an organization to get re-empowered, right? To your example earlier, for folks who've been in a lot of hierarchy, they might not speak up, that sort of thing. But how do you follow the energy of what people are interested in and allow them, yeah, you know, why don't you go solve that problem and report back and tell us how it went? Right. Love that idea. Why don't you run with it? Those are the kinds of things I'm talking about, where you see the light come back on in people's eyes, and they then are starting, it also builds trust, right, with what's happening. So I think, you know, this cultural stuff might actually work. Right? Because I'm actually getting seen and heard now. So that's the second one. I would mention. And the third one is something I call a cultural 360, which just means that leaders, team members, team leaders, whoever it's appropriate to do this with, actually go through a small communication exercise where they actually get feedback from a few folks on things like how would you describe our culture? What are the bright spots? What's maybe not going so well? The questions can vary. But one of my favorite questions is someone saying to the three or four folks who are involved in this cultural 360, so what is going on in our culture that I am not seeing that you think I should be seeing? And it gets to some blind spots, since we all have blind spots. But those are three things I would recommend right off the top is things, easy things, right? We can listen, the cultural 360 is easy, and looking for ways to help people move forward in ways they've wanted to move forward versus telling them they can't or putting an obstacle in front of them can often allow them to get bought in to whatever change your organization's embarking on.
Yeah, I wrote all those down. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I wrote this down too. Yeah.
What it brings to mind for me is this learner mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly, you're so right. We automatically filter as listeners. And I think moving from that judger mindset of, well, how do I disprove this? Or what do I really think to what is this person really trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it allows us to learn and to grow. Mm-hmm. And I think that carries right through, you know, with the re-empowerment. That's great. Mm-hmm. Let's go figure it out. Let's go learn something new, you know?
Yeah.
Enabling people to learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so on that note, the learning note, David, I would like to thank you so much today for being the guest on the show and really for engaging in this. I loved our dialogue. I loved our conversation, right? And I learned from you today. So thank you so much for being here.
Likewise. Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank you to all the listeners who are here and you know, are loyal and come every couple of weeks here to be a part of this Cultural Brilliance show. Really appreciate it. Please join us the second and fourth Fridays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. So we will be back in a couple of weeks. And until then, have a great week and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at claudetterowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.